Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? A TV guide to 80s action television. I've got my paperclip, my chewing gum, and my candy bars. I'm Jay McCain. With me, as always, is Aaron. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm great. I got a broken pair of binoculars.
Right. It's important that they're broken. And a special guest tree, everyone's favorite, Jim Jones himself.
I brought the sodium metal, guys. We're good.
Yes. Oh, does anyone have any contact? Cold medicine. That's what we really need.
Fair.
Is there an episode where it's like, luckily I brought my bazooka?
No, but he could make one out of quite a bit of things.
MacGyver would never. He would just manufacture it out of toilet paper tube and I don't know, Zippo lighter.
We do, just to spoil a theme in these television shows that I'm being forced to watch, the non-lethal side of these characters we're going to see in a moment. So I am going to lean heavily on you for the plot synopsis side because I've just been a busy boy. So
I got you.
I hope you're ready, Aaron.
What did you think of... do we actually say this is MacGyver? We watched the pilot episode called Pilot of MacGyver.
Right, it's just called Pilot.
They used to
refreshing,
do that.
A refreshing 45-minute episode, too.
Oh, God. That's my favorite part of this.
Not feature length. This is going to be a breeze, gentlemen.
It is.
I'm very curious, because this man, when we got to, like, the theme song, the intro, I had so much nostalgic memories kind of flood back to me during that dun 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 I love this show. I was head over heels for the show. I have a funny story to tell about this show. Jim, maybe we'll start with you. What's your experience with MacGyver? What'd you think of the revisit? And then I want to get to the millennial stake here.
I mean, the reason I'm here, sorry guys, is for the MacGyver. Like, it's nice catching up with friends and stuff, but it's the MacGyver. Uh-huh. I was a huge fan of MacGyver when I was a kid. Yeah. This is like the quintessential 80s nerd action show for me, and like you, Aaron, I remember as soon as they got to, oh, there's an accident that's happened and there's sulfuric acid spilling out, I'm like, yes, it's that episode.
Yes.
And I remember like every single moment of this thing, so I am thrilled to be here talking about it.
What do you think, Jay? This is we've seen a lot of testosterone-y type
That's my
action,
favorite Italian
action.
Dish.
That's true. It's the original San Francisco.
I make a mean
treat.
One.
What did you? This is not exactly the same kind of vein. We didn't see. There was no a studio backlot depicted. What did you think of MacGyver?
That's true. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was blown away with the cultural impact that this would come to have on our society, given what kind of a zero I thought this show was.
What?
I cannot...
What?
I mean, okay, it's not like I hated it or anything, but the
All
fact
right.
that this pilot episode spawned an SNL parody feature-length film.
Hell yeah.
Blows my mind.
And a full season of a miniseries as well.
A remake, yeah.
On Peacock Network.
Remakes and How long did this run?
Seven seasons.
This thing got, which
was a long fucking time.
Remakes, parodies, the just like the, I mean, so
Super
what's
Bowl
that?
Commercials.
The meme goes around that's like, Avatar has no cultural impact on us. Like, despite its success, like culturally, it hasn't really affected the way Americans or the world.
Even as
at
it's
all.
Making another $2 billion, the sequel, it still curiously is not affecting us.
This show somehow became a mega important part in like American pop culture.
I think I know why.
Okay.
I think I know why.
Explain it, because I don't get it either.
So this is a generation where like nerds were super shit on and neglected.
Okay.
And MacGyver is the ultimate nerd superhero.
Okay.
He uses his brain, not his brawns, to solve problems, and he's an expert electrical engineer, a physicist, a chemist. He can do it all with the power of his brain, and I think kids of that age were just primed to love that. And then they grew up just idolizing MacGyver.
And
that's exactly why
man.
I liked it. I didn't think there was 14 million Americans like that, but like, yes, the idea that this guy was like essentially a pacifist that used Mr. Wizard experiments to solve like weekly problems, I just couldn't get enough of.
So Gnarls in chat said MacGyzenberg, which I do feel like Breaking Bad and MacGyver both were probably written by like chemistry teachers who have had too much shit from their students and got this like power fantasy going of like, if only they knew what I'm truly capable of.
Well, you're not
absolutely
wrong. You're not wrong. I was inspired. I want to talk this. I've told this story maybe a few times, maybe a time or two on Lunch. I don't think this has ever been outside the paywall before.
Oh,
but,
wow.
So this show came out when I was in second going on third grade. And there was a bunch of my friends that were big. I don't know what we called ourselves, but we were buddies because we loved MacGyver. And we were forever, we had these special lunch boxes we'd keep at our desks in school were full of little spools of copper wire. There's these battery-powered trucks called stomper trucks during the day that you could, like, swap the wheels and the motors and they had little transmissions, and we'd take them apart and, like, make different things out of them. And we did dumb kid inventions. Like, one of us found that if you peeled the skin off of, like, a C-cell battery, that it would feel warm to the touch, probably because your skin was discharging a little bit of voltage and it would heat up the battery. And we found out that like you could put those in your gloves in the winter and keep it warm. We invented like, you know, these glove warmers and shit. But we were always trying to like take things, you know, because that's MacGyver's thing. He takes apart something into its component
stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and his component items, and we'd have like, you know, we'd have popsicle
Aaron's
sticks in there.
Recently concussed brain.
Yes, yes. So one of my buddies, Chris, one day we're always trying to break bigger things down into smaller things to see what we could do with those smaller things, you know. And he had the idea that we were going to like peeling off the skin of the battery was step one. Step two is like, what is inside here? What is the source of the power? So in Indiana, a not infrequent occurrence is for indoor recess to be declared because it's the weather's inclement. It's too cold, too much snow, too much rain. So we were sitting there with our school boxes. We had all our desks pushed together and we're MacGyvering shit. We're like seeing how fast a motor will spin when you got like six batteries in series. And Chris is over there and he's got his little scissors and he's been working its way underneath that positive cap, you know, that little blister thing. For most of recess, and it's getting to where the teacher's like calling the 2-minute warning, and
teacher derelict of duty.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know what the hell she was thinking. So he's got this thing under the cap, and he's got it pried off like a quarter inch, and he can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So he decides to like brace the battery up again. Like I think he pinched it between two desks, and he was banging on the one end of the scissors. And he kept on banging, banging, and after about the fourth or fifth time, this whole So a battery underneath the plus sign is a long like zinc rod that goes into this paste that's essentially battery acid, and the chemical reaction between that post and that paste generates electrical current.
All right.
So there's this giant rod that's going to be covered in battery acid, and it's going to come flipping out at high velocity, and it's going to go right into Chris's eye.
Jesus. They're under is the pressure? Batteries are pressurized?
No, it's from his own mechanical force. It's being catapulted. Okay.
I forgot about the outside force.
Yeah. So he stands up at his desk and he starts shaking his hands and screaming, just like, ah! And, you know, like me and four other guys got our like lunch boxes with crazy shit in them, like just looking in horror. And Mrs. Myers, this fucking poor woman, is going to be the one that shows us the space shuttle launch that blows up. And that year she also got to take Chris. So she's like, what's going on? And we're like, he flipped the battery into his eye. And she's like, a what? He's like, a bat. So she grabs him, and every teacher had a sink. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Up until like sixth grade.
Emergency Iowa station.
No, it's just like, because he did art shit and who knows. But you had a double wide sink, and she turned the water on full blast and essentially took his head and just shoved it repeatedly into the water. Like,
she waterboarded him as a punishment.
And so he went to the nurse's office and went home that day. And
I'm
he
sure
came
she's
back.
Qualified.
He came back the next day with an eye patch. And he flipped up the eye patch, and every bit of the white of his eye was gone, and it was blood red. Nice. He made a full recovery, but it was fucking badass. MacGyver That's almost hilarious. Blinded a friend of mine in third grade. That's how over the moon we were about MacGyver.
It would have been great if in MacGyver, before every time he does a thing, he's like, all right, putting on my safety glasses with my PPE. Gotta glove up.
I think Mrs. Myers would have appreciated that kind of wearing personal protection. Because we could have gotten a pair of plastic goggles. If you wore goggles, we would have fucking wore goggles. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you got a pair of rubber gloves, nice smock, and goggles before he did all the science shit, we probably would have done it, because we thought he was pretty cool.
Makes you feel even sciencier when you wear all the gear.
Yeah. So I can't explain the hold it had, because it did feel like this extremely nerdy thing. But man, I gotta say, I think Big Dick Dean Anderson is super cool in this show. He dresses like an LL Bean dad. He's got the sport mullet, you know, not super long and ratty. It's like, you know, it's high and tight up front. Not too much party, an appropriate
not too
amount
much
of party
up
in back.
Front. Yeah. It's a work party up front and business in the back.
And the other thing about MacGyver is he is this quintessential.
I got that backwards. Whatever.
He's just quintessentially.
I forgot which end of the mullet is party.
Wait, you what? Oh yeah. You got the.
Don't
you
grab
got the
a mullet by the wrong end. It's
you got
it's
the whole party
scene.
Agenda flip flopped on this. The other quintessentially about MacGyver is he is super nerdy, but he's inexplicably successful with ladies.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Which pissed me off. I'm assuming you didn't watch my VOD this time and cheat to get my...
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. I was getting pretty mad at the love interest that erupts spontaneously out of nowhere in this show. I think that was totally unnecessary, but I guess, I mean, he's a leading man. He needs a woman to fall in love with him.
He needs
they kind of wanted him to be Magnum P.I. with a brain, and it... I feel like that's the part that works the least convincingly. I really like his demeanor throughout this show. I think like his not give a fuck attitude. He's willing to look incredibly stupid in one moment to look even smarter in the next moment, right? He's willing to sacrifice
true.
A little bit of face now to blow your fucking mind that's, 10 that's, minutes from now.
That's why I say all the stupid things I say.
That's
just wait.
True. That's right. True. Saving just up. To pay off later.
And if it happens off camera after the stream's over, well, I can't help it.
In my 80s or 90s, I'm going to be like blowing minds.
He's completely unflappable, too. Like, in no situation does his heart rate get above like 65 BPMs.
Nerves of steel.
Disarming a bomb, tussling with 3 tons of sulfuric acid. staring down a bomb coming to fuse your granite layer or whatever. Like, he just does not give a shit.
I have opinions about the sulfuric acid thing that we'll get to. I have a lot to say. Well, I don't have, I have a little bit to say about that, but I'm going to say it loudly.
I feel like, I feel like I'm just going to say it. I think the vats of acid in the 1980s were like quicksand of the 70s.
Dude.
Like, I just thought I would have to dodge some kind of vats of acid all the time. Between
I work with a vat of, a literal vat of acid.
Oh my god! All right. So it is. It is. It's not like, it's not a quicksand. It's more like grain entrapment, where with the right job, you too might fall into a vat of sulfuric acid.
You know, like again. So I only watched the first two seasons of Breaking Bad, but there's that one point where they get the chemical to melt the guy down in, right?
Sure.
It's,
sure.
It's got like the big warning thing on the side.
Yeah.
That's the shit that I work with. It's like the maximum number on warning, this will dissolve you.
That's the thing about sulfuric acid. I feel like in the 80s, sulfuric acid was the scariest thing I could think of.
Right.
Yeah. I was terrified of sulfuric. I heard the word sulfuric. Yes. And I think this episode might be why. Because they were talking about like an apocalypse that was going to happen in this town if it got into the water.
And I'm like, it's
probably bad, but I was scared of it.
Sulfuric sounds so much more menacing than like citric acid. It's such, it's like an orange. Citric acid will fuck you up just as much.
Like hydrofluoric acid is like really bad, but it doesn't sound nearly as bad as sulfuric.
It's got hydro in there. It probably is refreshing. Yeah.
Sulfuric sounds like it comes from the pits of hell.
Sounds
it's
like
sulfurous.
A sport drink. Yeah, the sulf. I think the hell thing is definitely. Part of the appeal. Well, should we get into the details?
Yeah, let's take this pilot episode and deconstruct it into component atoms and then reconstruct it to our own purposes. Yeah.
Yes.
Somewhere in Central Asia, present day. So this could happen yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah,
a dude
actually,
is climbing.
When you say present day, technically this is 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really he shopped for a special operations mission through Goodwill, but it could be present day. So this is a quintessential piece. I'm using quintessential a lot. This is a quintessential piece of MacGyver shtick, where he is going on a mission, and he's relating a story from his youth that has a suspicious connection.
This?
Yeah, this is like...
What? Oh, my God. I hated every second of this.
They have this cold open that's always kind of like loosely related, if at all. And it's always like, I was out one day shingling outhouses with my grandpappy. And he said, dimes are five, but fives are ten. And I'll be darned if a Hellfire missile didn't have to be disarmed. And it goes roughly like this.
My grandpappy used to unload a Hellfire of his own in that shed, in that outhouse.
Can we talk up? So this guy, and we don't, from the pile, we don't know exactly what kind of secret agent he is. Be some kind of secret agent, some kind of troubleshooter for the U.S. government. And they call him when no one else can do a job. And they're Mac.
Like, what agency does he exist in?
It's the Phoenix, I believe.
Oh,
Phoenix.
This is another
agency.
Like, night.
Yeah, it's another loosely affiliated non-state department kind of. But they call
them
like,
trying to privatize the special forces in the 80s.
They're trying to
privatize
anything that wasn't nailed down in the 80s. Let me tell you.
What if the Army Rangers were mercenaries?
Dude, well, how do you think we got Halberton?
I know. I just realized that we actually do live in that.
Right.
Blackwater.
Blackwater called Mac up and said, Mac, we've lost a fighter on a mesa in China. You're going to have to go and infiltrate behind enemy lines and with maximum stealth, disable the bomb and extract yourself. This guy shows up looking like Spider-Man from the comic books. The brightest blue, the reddest red. he's free
fight.
Climbing up this mountain in like day glow neon shit. It is not at all stealthy. And
he keeps it on too after he changes gear. He steals the guy's uniform and keeps his blue leg warmers.
Yeah, he's got these bright baby
blue.
Well,
his legs are cold, dude.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I gotta keep these gaiters on. I could get some snow between my pants and boots. That's, you know how annoying that is.
That is so funny. I didn't even think he's wearing literally like a Where's Waldo red and white striped with a big poofy ball on it.
I know. He's wearing exactly what I wore to like the official King's Island Winterfest hat. Is essentially what MacGyver's wearing on this top secret mission. Like, imagine him hiding behind a rock and there's this enormous, like, 8-inch point with a giant poof on it that's just blah, 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 blah.
He also has, like, dangling carabiners and stuff. Like, there's no way this guy isn't rattling like a maraca.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. MacGyver broke that dude's neck, right?
No.
You think he just knocked
him
out?
On the vein. Okay. It was like a jujitsu choke.
It's one of those blood chokes that last for hours. I get it.
Yeah. That happened a lot in the 80s. You knock somebody out, they're out for as long as you need them to be out. The thing that was more concerning to me is the story he's telling. He's like, he's basically telling a story about, like, there's no obstacle I won't overcome to complete my mission. And he's like, oh, I wanted to ride this golden palomino. And so I went to the ranch, and oh, shit, there's old man McGinney's dog, so I fucking killed it. Sorry, dog, you're dead, right? Am I right about that?
Did he kill the dog?
He killed the dog in this story.
He dispatched the dog. I don't know if he killed him, but
he said, so long, Hector. So long, Hector.
But he could have ditched Hector, but yeah, there's definitely a darker
interpretation. I'm pretty
sure he
killed the dog.
So he goes, he sees this crashed plane, and he also sees in a cage they're holding the American airman, and MacGyver slips him, which I think is a big MacGyver trademark, his Swiss Army knife, and tells the guy essentially to bust out. And
right. Well, no, he doesn't like hand it to him. He unfolds his Swiss Army knife and then throws it, and it sticks into the wood of his cage.
The thing is, it's like they try to make a Swiss Army knife look badass, but I'm sorry, they just don't. They're handy, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't think I would like to see someone stick a Swiss Army knife into a tree like this. I feel like it'd snap the blade off.
I feel the Swiss Army has to be the darkiest of all armies, right? For one, they never get in any wars. They're like, well, we're neutral on anything. But have
Plus
you seen
the
Swiss Guard?
I was going to say the Swiss Guard gets all the press, and you know that's
They have poofy pants and stuff.
They do.
Like stripes.
They use Elizabethan colors
and halberds.
They look like clowns. They look just straight up like clowns.
Now, I've heard.
Imagine them unfolding their knife and charging into battle. Like, who's going to be afraid of that?
A fix Swiss Army knife, and they take their halberds and just snap it to the top. And yeah.
One guy pulls out the corkscrew on accident.
No, that's when you know they mean business, when they got the corkscrew out.
Yeah.
They're going to come
at you. That's technically a war crime after what they did in World War I in the trenches.
I've actually heard, though, that despite their goofy clothes, that the Swiss Guard are actually kind of badasses.
They spread that rumor.
They have the 16th century pajama clothes, but they also have Uzis and Aug Nines and whatnot in their in their backpacks and shit. I don't know. I wouldn't fuck with the Pope if I was in Rome, is all I'm saying. So he leaves this guy to cut himself down. He goes into a tent where he finds the rocket, which I guess he's sent here to disabled. And look, he whips out this case that has just ridiculously specialized rocket tools. Did you guys get a look at these? Like, they are, this famous Far Side cartoon where Gary Larson illustrates what cow tools look like. If cows made missile disarming tools, they would look like this. I can't describe them. They look like bizarre lightning shapes, and they all have black handles. But anyway, he uses this to open the thing up, and he disarms it, but then it starts a 30-second countdown, and his specialized tools avail him not. He has to whip out a paperclip.
Right, the paperclip. I thought that was more of a meme. I thought this was going to be one of those things where it's like, They never actually say, beam me up, Scotty.
Nope.
You know, it's like MacGyver never actually uses a paperclip. No, his first thing.
No, like Band-Aids, paperclips, coins, chewing gum. Like this stuff will all be employed in the fullness of time in 7 seasons of MacGyver. Don't you worry.
There's an episode where he turns a lawnmower into a hang glider. And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
So
what?
Yeah.
True.
That's a very heavy thing.
Well, it's not even a hang glider. It's a powered hang glider.
There's it's an ultralight, what it is. And there's some ultralight, bamboo and saran wrap involved, but yeah,
right.
the basic it's lawnmower technology. We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is reward unto itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today. And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? So he, as he's disarming a missile, he takes the gun, and he stole from the guy he got the uniform for him, and he rigs it up in a bush where it's on some kind of deadfall mechanism is going to trigger. And it's all attached to a string that he shoves a book of matches and lights on fire for a primitive timer. So him and the airmen get out, and this distraction goes off, buying them enough time to get a little head start on the Chinese troops. They get to the edge of the mesa. MacGyver, for some reason, has to use a flare gun that he's hammered into a nozzle that is like a rocket, and he rockets them off the mesa, and they tandem buddy jump, essentially.
This is ridiculous. Right.
And they have some quippy one-liners on the way down.
His rocket thruster propels him no farther than he could jump, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wastes 30 seconds while guys are charging him with machine guns.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Soft. That's also maybe a theme, like in the A-Team when Hannibal ziplines across the field of fire of right. all the guys with machine guns. Right. Maybe slowly gliding away from the soldiers is not... Right.
Yeah.
Here's what my MacGyver plan would have been. You know, disable the guy, steal his uniform, steal his gun. I would have given the airman the gun. Mm. Here you go. Use this right. to shoot them.
Right.
But again, this is a team esque in the set. Oh, there's a little jump. Hang on. I don't think a flared gun will launch you.
Well,
now listen, if we're going to check the science behind all of the experiments in this episode, we're not going to get very far because there's about 17 Mythbusters episodes that essentially yep. are all collections of those little those little metal things that say busted. Yeah, it's just metal plaque after metal plaque saying busted.
Mythbusters did come up in the viewing yesterday when we were watching this on stream, and apparently they have tested some of these.
Oh,
so.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That sodium
thing. I was a big fan of both.
It.
Yeah. There's so the credit sequence. This is something we've been doing. We've been ranking the theme songs.
Theme song power rankings.
Where are we at? Where are we at, MacGyver?
Top. Take it to the top.
Well,
to the top.
I want to hear your take first, Aaron.
It's not as good as Knight Rider and Airwolf. It's clearly
near,
better
it's
than.
It's not in the same league.
But I think it's better than A Team because I just get hyped,
no,
man.
Wait.
Even the little twinkly stuff at the beginning, the do 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 do.
I did not.
And he's just sitting there, just fucking with things. His close-ups of his hand beaming laser beams and twisting copper taut wire and cracking eggs into radiators. And you know,
this theme song has the second best drop in music ever.
Oh my
only
god!
Only second to Phil Collins in the air tonight. Only second to that.
The exploding MacGyver logo is quite the drop for sure.
I feel outnumbered by nostalgia havers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. The member berries are hitting real strong right now.
This is the bottom of the theme song power rankings, and your insistence that it could possibly be above A-Team, I feel like I might have to disqualify you from the power the
theme
song man, power
my
ranking
own fucking
commission.
Show. This is some brutal
yeah,
shit right here.
I might be. I might be Saddam Husseining this caucus and just assuming full control because clearly
all right.
you are not equipped
all right,
for
Uday.
The conversation.
All right, Uday, purge me.
This theme song is terrible. It's like Muzak. It's elevator Muzak.
Wow.
It is not even in the same league as the A-Team. And it's... definitely not even close to Knight Rider. Not even close.
No, it couldn't hold. It couldn't hold. It couldn't hold Knight Rider synthesizer. No, no, no fucking, no fucking way.
Anyhow,
I think it does, but it's a great title sequence because it's essentially this guy is what if Mr. Wizard experiments could be weaponized, and I think the theme like it feels like this fit in four seasons worth of. Technical gags like it's just rapid fire every half second is him doing something else and I like it. I like
is,
it a lot.
Is Mr. Wizard another Gen X thing that I
don't
know?
You don't
know
Mr.
Like,
Wizard?
He's like an older Bill Nye.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he magic ill? Like
it was more of like just science experiments like you know building a tornado in a 2-liter bottle or using a 9-volt battery
more...
to do electrolysis or
All right.
He was like high school chemistry class.
Never heard of this supposed wizard.
See, this goes to show you that you could exterminate the Jedi, and in less than a generation, no one would have heard of them. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was unrealistic. That, like, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know, the hokey religions and names. Bitch, this happened 16 years ago. Dudes running around with laser swords and moving shit with their mind, and you're denying it. But you know what? It can happen. It can happen.
Well, the Jedi also, there were like 20 of them. Like, there were, like, what was the population of just Coruscant?
Yeah. There's only one Mr. Wizard, so you can get rid of him quick.
That's true. That's true.
But, you know, there's the ratio of Mr. Wizards to all alive humans is still bigger than Jedi to all alive things in the Star Wars universe.
So back on to the MacGyver topic. We come out of the credit sequence and MacGyver is entertaining his little brother. He's in the Big Brother program. He apparently lives at a planetarium.
Oh, and the kid's like...
You're a weirdo. Why did they let... I thought you had to be normal to be a big brother. And you're weird. And MacGyver's like, pops him on the butt and's like, let's not think too hard about it. Let's go down and get a bite to eat. He pops the kid on the butt and says, Let's go get a bite to eat.
I might be jaded because if you go to my YouTube channel, Blue Jay Streams on YouTube, I do exclusively to catch a predator content.
Yeah,
but this was a big no-no touch.
Yeah.
I just, like, cannot endorse this at all. And the whole Big Brother thing, like, no, cut that, leave that. And again, I appreciate the 45-minute pilot, but I think we could get this thing down to 22. We could get in and out, you know?
The thing you lose in the 45-minute pilot is there's a lot of stuff that just kind of moves and you gotta be like, go with it. So we're going to now see a disconnected scene of an underground secret facility where one big wig scientist is meeting another, challenges them to the chess. You see a glimpse of a bomb and it goes off at a precise time with one of the scientists apologizing right before. And boy, a half dozen people just go flying. This just fucks this lab all the way up.
Are you suggesting that this moved at a rapid pace?
Yes, it was moving. We're 30 seconds out of the credit sequence and we're already blowing up the lab, but we have no idea what the context is on.
When it moved to the chess playing, I was already mentally tapping out a little bit.
See, that just made it better for me as a kid, because I'm like, I had this undue fascination for chess when I was a kid. MacGyver was made for me. Jim
hits all the nerd high notes.
I can't. They should have been playing. One, they should have been playing Magic the Gathering. I'm in.
Not invented yet. You sure? Okay.
Oh man, I didn't consider how difficult this podcast was going to be if you guys are both on the same side. On this.
yeah, and we got the wiliness of age on our side. Jim, I'm morally certain that the exterior of this secret lab is the UHF station that Weird Al Yankovic takes over in the movie UHF.
Oh, is it?
I'm pretty goddamn sure. I think it's exactly the same location.
I mean, it would make sense. I bet a lot of things have been filmed here.
The
thing I love about this whole scenario is that they have created an elevator that has three stops, one at 100 feet, the second at 200 feet, and the third at 300
feet.
It takes them 3 seconds to traverse this. And yet a bomb...
faster than free fall.
Yes, yeah. They're actively being pulled down. They're smashed against the ceiling like the fucking Gravitron. There's 100 feet of concrete or something, rock, bedrock, something between each floor. Mm-hmm. And this bomb takes it all out. All three floors.
That's true. It's a heck of a bomb.
But you can see the bomb. It's just a little bit of C4 under this chess table.
Right. Well, a cold capsule full of sodium can blow a man-sized hole through 16 inches of cement.
Fair.
I don't know. Maybe things are a little bit more explodey in the MacGyver universe. His logo on exposure to air for 5 seconds spontaneously explodes.
It does.
That's how explodey MacGyver is.
I'm on the IMDb. It says executive produced by Timothy McVeigh. Oh, that's weird. It's probably a coincidence.
You know who it is executive produced by, though?
Bomb Propaganda.
Did you see this, like, Jim? You know who the one of the showrunners of this show? Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I believe that.
We have
that.
The Fonz to thank for MacGyver.
You have the Fonz to thank for a lot more than you think. I'll just
say
that.
This is probably true.
Henry
is
Winkler, he strikes me as one of those guys who was in Hollywood early and was like, if I'm going to make a lot of money, I need to be in charge of things.
Yeah.
I need to start producing.
This A shit ain't going to last forever. The real thing that happens at this bomb is it cracks open a giant vat of sulfuric acid, and a computer voice helpfully lets us know that they have lost fucking containment.
Hang on, real quick, someone, first time chat, Ted Kajetsky says state sponsored propaganda. That's a pretty sussy
Sussy wussy, sussy wussy on the chat list here. So we have a helicopter landing at the planetarium. I'm guessing this is for MacGyver. And sure enough, there's a classified research lab that's gotten exploded for some reason. There's 20 scientists still trapped, including two top scientists that are in the running for a Nobel Peace Prize for something. I don't think we ever find out.
Probably for science.
There's almost no chance to recover. There's only one man in the world that could possibly rescue these people, and it's Big Dick Dean Anderson. And he's like, "You don't say no more, say less. Let's get in the helicopter and go." And boy, we can't get enough cool helicopter action here at Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? We have a fucking cool ass Cobra looking attack helicopter ferrying MacGyver to the UHF station.
I noticed this helicopter, I thought it looked cooler than freaking Airwolf, because it's got the missile pods and stuff.
It definitely looks more nakedly aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, Airwolf was a wolf in sheepskin, of course, so.
I just noticed this, because just MacGyver to me reeks of divorced dad energy. Divorced dad
That's
power
the L.L.
fantasy.
Bean. That's the L.L. Bean that he's wearing, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
it's the
and
L.L.
the mullet
Bean.
He's rocking.
It's the, I'll show you what I can do with the knowledge of chemistry, and it's a he lives at his work.
He's sleeping in a
sleeping bag under his desk,
doing some volunteer work, trying to find himself.
yeah Conveniently writes in the woman who, apropos of nothing, falls in love with him. just happens to be there. In no way is the married teacher down the hall that doesn't like to talk to him in real life.
So they brief MacGyver in a situation. They say it has to be an accident. There's no other explanation. The scientists were doing magnetic cloud research, which MacGyver apparently has heard of, and he goes, "Rainmakers." Apparently, they're trying to make clouds rain. This vat of sulfuric acid is eating its way towards the primary source of the Rio Grande, which will kill Texas, New Mexico, and California by rolling back upstream somehow. Their only solution is they're going to flood the whole compound with sodium hydroxide to essentially neutralize the acid. Problem, that solution will strip the flesh right off a skeleton. So they have 5 hours until every skeleton is stripped of its flesh, including MacGyver's. He finds out the tank's 300 feet underground, is protected by lasers, and MacGyver coolly bums a cigarette in response to this information.
Right, yeah. I guess here's the thing, right? There are certain things that were tropes by the time they got to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I was already cheesed out by the time I observed it in, like, Metal Gear Solid. You could, you know, use your cigarette to find lasers and stuff, and it was already kind of cheesy at that point. Maybe this was cutting-edge cigarette smoke and detect
it
laser
was.
Beam.
Like this, like, there'd never been a show where people, like, solve science puzzles as a way to get ahead.
That's the thing. You know? It's an action show where the guy uses his brain as a weapon. It's so different from anything else on at the time.
Okay. I guess I just... I don't feel like I grew up with an abundance of that.
You come to the wrong shop
that,
to preach
though.
MacGyver hate, brother. I don't know what to tell you.
No, it's, you're right. It's not even done. MacGyver is like a singular experience. I have no idea why they don't do more like this.
I feel like the
maybe because millennials would shit on it and say this is all tropey and stupid. but I don't know why there isn't a modern day version of this.
I agree, Jim. They rebooted it, but they need to reimagine it. Like,
yes.
Is it because science is like too theoretical? It's like. There's no quantum MacGyver.
Right.
Yeah.
This was right before the internet where people could easily fact check shit. Because you had this mm-hmm. show, like, you'd have to do like real science, and real science doesn't do this shit is the problem.
That'd just be a bummer.
Quantum MacGyver is like, if no one looks at the leaking vat of sulfuric acid, it exists in a super state of both leaking and not leaking.
So, right. So MacGyver's not worried at all. They're like, how are you going to solve this with just the things you have in your man purse? Because he's got this little messenger tote, and he goes,
right.
Look,
like me on my scooter.
embrace MacGyver. You know you want to.
I wish I had his head of hair. That's for damn sure.
I don't solve problems with the things I have in my bag. It's for holding the things I pick up along the way. It's like, Jesus Christ. All right, MacGyver.
It's like a found family TV show, but for stuff.
Right. And he even has this cheesy line where they're like, he's like, relax, I got a date this weekend. Oh, my God. I just realized the implication of this. And he says, it's my little brother. I don't want to let him down. You should never pop a boy on the butt and call him your date. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's you should just avoid that kind of language.
MacGyver, why don't you take a seat over here?
Why don't you pop a squat instead of popping a smack? Anyway, he kicks in a steel grate that is instantly lasered to demonstrate the point that there is deadly 10,000 megawatt lasers protecting this elevator shaft for some reason. And he says, time for a smoke. And as he's like, and I love the detail that MacGyver's not... They make sure you know MacGyver is not a smoker.
Yes. He's not inhaling.
No.
Oh, I hate this.
Yeah. He's just doing it for the effect, which is to blow smoke into the elevator shaft to illuminate these pretty badass blue lasers. He then busts up his binoculars and uses one of the little mirrors inside of it to redirect the laser beam back to its own emitter, destroying it.
So he did find... He did bring the binoculars. He did not find those along the way.
But not in his bag, right? They were on his shoulder, maybe.
Oh, okay. And then in celebration, he puts in a fat wad of dip, and he's like, oh, so much better. Doesn't even cause lung cancer. MacGyver loves dip tobacco.
And then he cashes his check.
Yeah. Brought to you by Skull.
So on the next level, he can actually see the cave in, and as he begins to investigate, he hears a tapping on a metal pipe, and he quickly realizes it's the scientist trying to do a proof of life situation. He squeezes his way into the, and he sees a big metal girder that he thinks if he could just shift a couple of inches.
Oh God, I hate this so much.
If I can just
really
shift it a couple of inches, I might be able to get.
Think of the PSI. Think of the PSI.
So he's talking over two-way radio, and one of the guys in the control room loudly slurps his solo cup, and MacGyver's like, "What was that?" And the guy's like, "I was just taking a drink of water, Mac." And this is almost 1960s Batman era quality. He's like, water. I just need a couple. So he goes back and there's one of those fire hoses that you have like in apartment staircases. And he gets it out. He cuts the tip of it off. He ties it in a knot. He squeezes it into the crack. And by God, he's going to use hydraulic force to shift this steel beam the several inches he needs to... shove it through to the other side so he's got a clear path.
Why does he cut the nozzle off?
That's a very good question.
Better under the girder was my only thought.
He cuts the nozzle off and then he like ties the end in like a square knot and then it maintains 100% of its pressure rating after after this and is able to lift.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, I don't know how I don't know what the PSI of this building's water pressure is. It is 300 feet underground.
I can tell you exactly how much water pressure a hose can take if you just tie off the end of it. It's about 1 pound.
but if it's spread out over 100 feet of hose, you know, that's like the PSI. It's the PSI that's important. That's what he does. He uses he fracks the tunnel open.
He does hydrofrack his way.
He does. And he's able to get in there, and he instantly tells people they need to start. He starts getting the evacuation underway. A girl in a pink jumper that you might remember from the earlier episode introduced us to the two scientists. Jumps up and says, I know a special path. I know exactly where they're at. I was just there, and I can lead you back to that way.
Mm-hmm. Also, you're so handsome. Did I mention I've been widowed recently?
and if you wondered when this was made, if you were thinking maybe this, when it says current day, it means 2023, just look at the lighting in this scene. All the emergency lights are like neon pink and neon green.
They are, yeah.
It's so weird.
It's a code teal and fuchsia.
She has this like bizarre way of hitting on MacGyver. She's like, what's your name? He's like, MacGyver. MacGyver, that's a good name. And I have to ask you, gentlemen, is MacGyver a good name? It's a distinctive name. Is it a good name?
I mean, I'm a McCain, so like I'm not gonna throw Mac stones in my Mac glass out.
You gotta have Mac solidarity. But he's an MAC. He's Scottish, not Irish, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, fuck him.
So MacGyver is canonically Scottish.
MAC is the Scottish.
I think so.
But is the man himself supposed to be Scottish in the
show?
That's
a good question.
Because I never got that impression. I got that he was.
American.
Thoroughly American, several generations removed at least.
Oh yeah, but he has
Scottish ancestry.
West Virginia.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he probably has an officially registered tartan.
There is the
Clan MacGyver. Yeah, probably has
he wears
an official
plaid
tartan.
In this.
There is this weird stereotype of Scottish people being great inventors, and like, L. Ron Hubbard plays it up in Battlefield Earth, like Johnny Goodboy, McTyler. Before he's McTyler goes and rescues a bunch of Scottish people, and they're like great inventors and stuff. Oh, it's a stereotype. I've heard it in a couple of weird instances.
Didn't know the Scots were model minorities like that. They're all Tony Starks.
You think the people creating stereotypes would want to get that out there more? You know, if they're trying to make a stereotype, really like let people know, because I didn't know that.
Well, that's why I'm here. I've been paid for by the National Council of Scottish Stereotypes.
You're working for Big Scotch?
Yeah, I am.
For Big Irish.
So they're walking to the research lab, and she's like, gee whiz, I don't know how these explosions could have all gone off in such a coordinated, centralized way. And he's like, wow, damn, that does seem like a mystery. She starts to go through the lab door, and MacGyver's like, whoa, because he sees it just literally smoke rolling off of it. Right. He grabs a broomstick, he touches it to the door, and it bursts into flames.
Right.
I don't know how fucking hot this door has to be, but holy shit.
700
clearly,
degrees.
Clearly, they can't go back this way.
Yeah.
She says there's a gas chamber we could possibly climb through, and there's only 3 hours left, so he's like, lead the way.
That did crack me up. My suggestion is we climb through the gas chamber.
right.
Oh, that's the only way, huh?
We've eliminated the portal through hell. So, I guess the gas chamber is the last refuge.
Well, there is the Hall of Guillotines.
So they walk down through to the B route. And they find a big pile of chocolate bars on the floor, machines tipped over or something. And he starts stocking up on it. And she's like, you're thinking of eating chocolate at a time like this? Uh-huh. And he's like, don't mind me, I'm just storing energy. And I'm like, oh, you're going to turn those into a bomb, you fucker. I'd actually forgot about this, what he actually does with them.
How? Okay. Did you? So.
Fair. Like, I didn't see the sulfuric acid combo coming up either. So
they're walking down this hallway and the lady's like, this is so weird. The airlock hasn't actually kicked on and locked us out yet. And as she says that, the airlock kicks on and begins to lock them out. And they have to do that desperate slide through the door kind of thing. You know, it eats up another minute of runtime.
This is science Indiana Jones, isn't it?
Yes, that's a very good way to look at it. He's not an archaeologist. He's an applied engineer. You know, applied physics engineer.
There should have been a scene like right before the last door closed. He had to reach back and grab his periodic table of elements.
Grab his business mullet and flown off.
Grab his lab goggles.
At the other end of the airlock, they look down at this, what looks like main engineering, the Enterprise, and it's just full of dead scientists with a whole bunch of mist and gas around them.
Okay, I take it back. A-Team never would have had the courage to kill all these scientists.
True. Lots of dead bodies in this.
We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
We try to make it super easy to support making podcasts at Bald Move. Just join the club.
But some people aren't the joining type, or maybe they're already in the club but want to add a little bit of gratuity for an especially great season of coverage, or for a podcast that really spoke to them, or gave them that bit of support in a tough time.
For these, and for whatever other reason you might have, our tip jar is always open. Head over to support.baldmove.com and click the donate option to say, hey, keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Once again, check out support.baldmove.com for all the great ways to help me and Jim keep making the podcast you love.
Since the dawn of time, we've been putting clothes on our back that identify us with our people, our group, our tribe.
And while Bald Move might be one of the smallest, weirdest tribes out there, transcending all concepts of border, class, culture, and creed, we still have respect for the old ways.
At support.baldmove.com, you can get t-shirts, hats, mugs, and more. We have something for every one of our podcasts, or just wear the four pips of the Bald Move logo with pride.
Bald Move merch beats running around naked, and they make a great gift for the Bald Move fan in your life. Join our tribe! Head over to support.baldmove.com and click on merch to start shopping.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car? They tell Big Dick Anderson that they're ready. The military's got the hydroxide trucks here. They'll be ready to flood the facility in just 55 minutes, which I thought was an oddly specific time. Wouldn't you just say an hour?
Also, if anyone is familiar with the military, like, they're not exactly like logistical Sonic the Hedgehogs, like, speed-wise. Like, they had did they already have the sodium hydroxide trucks, like, ready to go? Like, that was pretty fast.
It was on somebody's disaster binder, so they had these trucks on warm standby.
I was more bothered by them putting the timer on the screen for, like, 12 seconds, and then it just disappearing for 20 minutes.
Right.
And then coming back and then disappearing again. They
could have had a really cool Kiefer Sutherland, like, constant countdown of doom the entire episode. But then they probably had to pay attention to the actual passage of time. And they're like,
right.
Nothing destroys a narrative more than actually paying attention to time.
Yes.
It's true.
But they wanted a literal ticking clock. And the funny thing is, they tell you the time, like, audibly every time they do it. They're like, there are always countdowns in the background. Why put the timer on screen?
Right. So they're down there and they're like, oh, there's the gas. We can't get past it. And up top, they're like, we'll try to hotwire the gas pumps from above here. And it fails the most hilarious way it possibly can. It actually explodes a panel and catches a computer on fire. Them trying to overrun these gas pumps.
How did that?
I don't think that's how that works either.
Yeah.
Like, you can't fix blown up circuitry from the other end of the circuit.
No.
Right?
Well, no. You can't.
Well, fair. You tell MacGyver what to do because he's down there, but
right. So he realizes he's going to have to do like a suicide mission. He's going to have to run in and quickly manually hotwire these pumps to clear the thing full of gas. And it's a high risk, but he's not worried because he's going to rip his shirt apart and use it as a baklava, a baklava, balaklava.
You got it.
Yeah.
Delicious.
He straps a baklava to his mouth.
He's going to put a bar of baklava in his mouth and up both those holes.
He got it from the vending machine.
Well known. It's like it's better than activated charcoal for processing toxins.
Steubens was a baklava guy. He demanded it in the vending machine.
So he wraps this thing and he encourages her to wrap it around his face too. And he even says something like, it won't do anything about the gas, but it might help a little. Okay, the fuck it will. She gives him a kiss for luck. He busts out the window. He quickly climbs down the ladder.
Did not need the kiss, again, out of nowhere. It's like, like this is a life or death struggle. And she's just like, I kind of like this guy. Oh, I'm going to give him a kiss. Like, I can't believe she survives the episode.
It's like, just in case you don't make it, here's a kiss. And I'm like, just in case you don't make it, you guys are going to have the flesh stripped from your bones by a caustic chemical in like 30 minutes. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
She's so giggly about it, too.
She was such fridge bait. I cannot believe she survived this episode. Also, they made sure to linger on this shot of her like climbing through the window with her dress on.
Yeah.
A lot of leg being shown there.
Yeah. That's the
thing. Jim and Aaron.
This is why we
wasn't
all grew
the
up
science
to hate,
that's
why
that
so many of us
grew up
to hate
this
women,
show.
Right?
What? Come on. I think it may have been
I'll maintain it was the science.
Okay.
I'll never admit.
Know.
But seriously, do you ever like, it's like we were programmed to hate women, man. They were like so fucking annoying, constantly like keeping the dude from doing cool shit, random, irrational non sequiturs and interjections in the conversation. They're not taken professionally serious. They're always showing their leg. They're only used as if they're kissing the guy. It's like, Jesus Christ, this shit was like, it's like if what we're doing now is socially programming people, then I don't know what the fuck we were doing in the 80s. You know, it was just going the wrong direction. Anyway,
what do you think, MacGyver writer's room, probably only like 40% women. 45, probably only like 45% women.
You know, their BIPOC representation was pretty sketchy, but their
BIPOC was only like 38%.
Yeah. For
and
sure.
Every week they'd come in and say, guys, we got to get these numbers up. We got to get the numbers up.
Yeah.
We got to get everybody. We got to make sure everyone's represented in this room. So he goes down there and he's choking in this gas and he hot wires this pump and it begins to clear the toxic gas and I guess they're going to be okay. They just got a light toxic gassing.
Yeah, it's
MacGyver's MacGyver's flannel is actually an N105 rated filter. Uh-huh. So
yeah, it's technically a respirator.
He's thinking ahead.
I've never been in an environment that's flooded with noxious, I guess like corrosive gas.
Sure.
I have been in an environment that was flooded with the humble CO2, and that was Earth. That was agonizing. My body went in complete flight mode to get away from it as soon as possible.
Do you have a tank burst? What was that all about?
Yeah, it was. I had a tank breach and it blew a port directly on top of me. And it was
a disgruntled brewer wanted to keep him from making the world's greatest beer and ready to blow over a chess match. Funny enough,
it was me making a really dumb mistake during a graveyard shift one night. It's a story for another day. It's actually quite funny, but I was in real danger for a moment.
Almost a literal graveyard shift.
I feel like this has got to be better than my almost put out an eye with battery acid story. We'll have to get to it.
All right.
And in another confined space episode, we'll have to get to it. So here's another thing they do. They go up top so the military guy can talk to Max Handler and let him know that, like, okay, I understand that we're going to pour a caustic material that'll dissolve the flesh off your compatriot's bones in 30 minutes, but just to make some things interesting, we're also going to use a super bomb to fuse the layer of mantle so that the acid can't eat through it. So he's going to be... He's going to be incinerated from below and dissolved from atop. Like, what? Why the extra peril here? Like, who gives a fuck?
Also, like, can we put that timer back up on the screen real quick?
There's a chemical engineer at home like, wait a second. There's no fucking way this sulfuric hydroxylic shit is going to keep the stuff out of the Rio Grande. They'd have to fuse the mantle layer with some kind of thermobaric bomb. Oh, okay. They've thought of that. All right. Okay. Continue the episode. What the fuck?
That's probably the conversation that they had in the writer's room, which was probably like 80% PhD, right?
And what's really funny is... There's no way to communicate this information to MacGyver because he lost his radio like two set pieces again. So this is just purely for us to know and freak out about.
It's true. Doesn't affect MacGyver at all. But the super genius with the knapsack for collecting all the things that you need to solve the problem along the way leaves his radio. Just leaves it on the counter.
Right. Yeah, he grabs 12 candy bars because he has a feeling he's going to need it. But
he gets one
radio,
freaking kiss, and all of a sudden he's like a 13-year-old schoolboy. He's like, oh, geez, does she like me? Oh, I got to play it cool. Oh, let's keep going. What happened to my radio? Oh, I forgot it.
That's why I like MacGyver. Game recognized game, baby.
What is an underground missile? Can you explain this to me?
I'd like to know that too.
It's got to be like a torpedo, but with a drill on the front, right?
I think they were specially developed by Lex Luthor and a real estate scheme in the late 70s.
Yeah. And they used them in Armageddon to blow up the asteroid.
They're designed to penetrate into mantle and detonate along fault lines, diffuse mantle boundaries for sulfuric acid applications. You know, that kind of thing.
Shredder used one as a car for a while, I think.
So MacGyver and Spencer press on, oblivious to the extra danger that they've walked themselves into. He says, watch out, this is some nasty stuff, and they find the crack that's still spewing sulfuric acid. And he says, hey, guess what? We can use the chocolate to shove it into the crack, and it's going to convert into carbon. And it's going to gum up the works. And she's like, okay. So he gets her on his shoulders and like 6 inches away from this burbling sulfuric crack. She starts shoving the candy bars in.
You don't
and
have
it's like
Flexitape, do you?
Yeah. 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 And it's like Flexiseal. It just completely. Yeah. And you know what? This actually might be the most legit science. Because I do believe my teacher did like a beaker full of sugar and poured sulfuric acid into it, and it like shot like 6 feet of like black carbon out of that test tube. Do you guys remember that in chemistry?
And here's the thing: I was getting shit on my stream about this because apparently the MythBusters proved that this works. Blah blah blah. But here's what I'm saying:
give MacGyver the one thing, okay?
can a little bit of sugar gum up a little bit of sulfuric acid? Sure. Can one candy bar stop an entire 50,000 gallon vat of sulfuric acid? I don't think so. I think it'll gum up for a second.
What
and then
if
the more and more sulfuric acid will continue to break down the candy bar until it can.
But what if he had six candy bars? Okay, what if he had six full candy bars?
We clearly saw him take. Oh, this shot. Oh, hang on. I gotta move.
He took like four. He ate, definitely ate one.
This is
This is true.
This is gratuitous upskirt.
As soon as that chocolate hit the hydrochloric acid of his stomach, it just turned into charcoal and killed him. That was a crazy thing.
Mounds of black charcoal spewed out of his mouth.
The thing that they totally neglect to mention in this scenario is the fumes.
Right. Like,
oh my god.
Sulfuric acid is not just the liquid that comes out, right? It's the fumes that enter the air that they're absolutely breathing.
As
with
it's
no,
chewing through the with, cement and the yeah, it's right. It's making chemical reactions
and
all
reacting.
The time.
She's 6 inches away from a, like you said, a burbling stream of it, huffing it, and nothing is happening to her.
Yeah. 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 It's wild. The thing works, but they have no radio to tell anybody this works, and they only got 9 minutes left of a lifetime. They find a door at the trapped scientists. They are able to communicate lab to lab because there's an intercom switch. Apparently, I can talk to the surface, too, and these guys haven't bothered, so fuck them. MacGyver realizes, because he smells the plastic explosive application, that this was the work of a bomb. But he tells that he's found something that he can use as a bomb. It is chemical grade sodium, which, if you don't know, reacts to any kind of water explosively.
Oh yeah,
and
this is actually
science experiment. I think super cool. They got the cold capsules. He takes them apart, dumps out the medicine, stuffs them full of sodium, and then puts several of them in a thermos full of water. And it's like a time bomb. Like, those things are going to dissolve, hopefully all at the same time, I guess. And the sodium's going to expose to water, and the thing's going to explode. Now, that would work, but the explosion would be disappointing. It would be the size of a large, like one of those large fireworks that they sell at the safe stores, you know? It's not going to punch a 4x2 hole through 6 inches of concrete like it does in this episode. But yeah.
This is why I can't bring a 16-ounce bottle of Aquafina on an airplane anymore, also.
Right, because the Department of Homeland Security thinks MacGyver is real. There's also this joke where, like, when she's like, oh, if only we had some cellulose tablets, and she's like, looks thoughtful and says, I have these cold capsules, and he's like, oh, I wish I had known you had a cold before I let you kiss me.
I think my brain may have decided not to commit any of this to some long form memory.
So just as it looks like they're going to get rescued, the oldest American scientist, Stubbins, pulls a gun and starts raving about how none of us were supposed to survive. They wanted to develop my Rainmaker technology into a weapon that was going to be the ultimate doom. I don't remember how this worked. It was going to, like, set fire to every cloud on the Earth or some shit.
It was going to detonate the ozone layer, is how MacGyver
describes
it. Detonate
the ozone layer.
It's very Vonnegut, Ice Nine-esque, I would say.
Well, see, this was very 80s. We were obsessed with the ozone layer going away, and this guy had found the way to ignite it all at once. And he's like, it's the ultimate doomsday weapon, and I promised I'd never hurt anyone, so me and this guy are the top researchers, and it would set them back 20 years if we were to die. And MacGyver is kind of like, well, get fucked. We're going to have the exploding ozone layer future, old man.
Yeah.
Pitiless. I mean,
either we have it or the Ruskies do.
Damn straight. Who do you want to have it in their hot little hands? The commies or the cappies?
If you have one doomsday weapon, you might as well have them all, right? Like, we have so many nukes. What does it matter if you get hold of an ozone layer doomsday weapon? It's the same thing.
Yeah. We doomsday have a surfeit fatigue. Of doomsday weapons. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm settle so down. Over the doomsday shit. Come on.
I got one Ohio-class submarine that can end the fucking world, MacGyver. We don't need thing. It's fine.
Guess what? We're destroying the world on accident anyway.
Right. Just
we
won't
acknowledge that
combustion.
For another 40 years.
We are the doomsday machine, bro.
Shit.
So he starts waving the gun around, and... The I forget what the lady's name is. It Stacy
need one. Doesn't
Spencer,
matter.
Spencer says no and rushes the guy, and he shoots her by accident, which sobers him up. And she's
MacGyver
like
sticks
shot.
A candy bar in the wound.
Yeah, MacGyver sticks an O. Henry in her gut, and it completely seals up.
Yeah. No, you thought this part hurt. Now comes the sulfuric acid.
And he's like. He's like, there's got to be some way to communicate with the service. We're still, I just know. And he's still so blasé about almost dying in 2 minutes. And she goes, it's okay, MacGyver. You did everything in your power.
And he's like, power? Yeah. Just like the fucking water shit. And he goes, runs to the generator room, and he has these industrial-sized circuit breakers, and he flips it off in Morse code, and he communicates to the top bunker that the acid is contained and all is safe. And you have the frantic calling off of the abort code. I guess that's why they did it. So you'd have an exciting calling off, because otherwise it's like, hey, don't pump that shit into the hole. All right, got it. You know, you got to have a dude in green fatigues like, abort the mission! Abort the mission!
Right.
So,
this whole talk about using candy bar. I'm just thinking. Sorry, I got distracted. I was thinking about that. You know how the aliens from Alien have acid blood?
Sure.
If they had medics, technically they could use candy bars to like patch them up.
Yeah, and instead of flamethrowers, they should use like chocolate fountains just seal up. Yeah. Like just candy coat those fuckers, and there's nothing they can do.
If they had a M&M style. Carapace.
Yeah.
They would be unstoppable.
Or they'd just be fully contained, you know?
Oh, that too. Instead of dropping them in the liquid iron or whatever it was in Alien 3.
Chocolate Easter xenomorphs is what they are. So we got, like, we're moving to the denouement, and MacGyver's got Spencer. She's on a gurney because she got gut shot, remember? And he said, she goes, I'd kiss you if I could, but I got this cold, you know. And he's
also,
like, wait. And so he pulls him to the side and he like does this big moment. Again, he's on a gurney. There's like paramedics at both end and MacGyver's supervisor and the lab supervisor to who she works for. And he just does this big dramatic kiss. And I'm like, how wild would this be? This lab got attacked and I'm the facilities and they get in this weirdo special forces guy that bums three cigarettes, blows up my laser system. Does everything. And at the end, he's macking on this girl that's gut shot.
Right.
That like what a bizarre workplace experience that would be.
One would say
she's on a gurney.
Inappropriate also.
And he kisses her and he's like, all right, move her out. He's just done. Fucking Chad. Next.
Send her to the morgue. She's not dead. I said morgue.
Waiter, I'm done with my lunch. It's time for dinner. Clear this tray from me.
Oh, God. Let's move on for dinner, Aaron.
Oh, God.
Oh,
well,
boy.
He's got a little brother waiting for him on a date. And they're playing full court press, one-on-one, man-to-man coverage basketball.
In the kitchen.
In the kitchen of this planetarium.
The planetarium kitchen, yes.
The rim is like hanging from the ceiling. It's not even on a wall. And it's like half, directly in the middle of the room.
It's like 5 feet tall. It's like, who says I can't dunk?
Yeah, this screams like he just found out little Timmy was into basketball last week and he wants to make sure that there's something fun to do in his apartment. Anyway, and then that's where the credits. Yeah, he does a pretty funny Howard Cosell. I thought that's another like.
Oh, that's what that was. All right.
That was too old for my time already, but that would be the Joe Buck of his time.
Got you.
I guess.
Fair enough.
The Al Michaels.
And it's a
Al
freeze
Michaels
frame.
Before Al Michaels. Oh, yeah. You got to have the freeze frame.
I did appreciate the freeze frame. Who was the first person? Frame. Did they win like an Emmy or something? Like
they better.
For creative use of the freeze frame. It blew everyone's mind.
Yeah, that's like the Citizen Kane move. Like that's the 80s really just leaned on that.
So overall thoughts, MacGyver. Was it as great as you guys remember?
Yes. I instantly saw all the things I loved about it. Me and Jim watched an episode of MacGyver a couple years ago. It's the one where he saves a South American village from a Texas-sized swarm of army ants.
Mm-hmm. What?
He has 3 hours to prep this village to resist a storm of army ants. And he digs tunnels and aqueducts.
It's essentially a tower defense game.
It's a tower defense
television.
Game. He turns a whole village into a tower defense game.
Wouldn't digging be the last thing you would want to do?
He's,
like,
he's
That's well, but Anne's
you take those moats and fill them full of gasoline as a last ditch. Yeah, yeah.
And then ignite yourself in there to spare yourself the agonizing death of the Brazilian bullet ant.
Don't worry. He's got a wet piece of flannel. If he gets caught in any inferno, he's got a wet piece of flannel. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. If those boys in the movie Backdraft just had a patch of his wet flannel, none of them would have died. None of them.
I love it, man. I was happy to watch this again. I think the theme song kicks ass. MacGyver is super cool. He inspires me.
You're just saying that to fuck
I aspire to be as cool as Big Dick Dean Anderson.
I believe it, and I'm also saying it to fuck with you.
It's both ironic and not. It's kind of like
Oh, who's the hipster now with your blurred lines between irony and sincerity? All right.
Well, we learned it from watching you. All right, you little shits. We learned it from watching you.
We're just old men trying to keep up. Come on.
Okay.
MacGyver, pretty highbrow, high concept 80s action. And I see immediately what I loved about it, and that essential quality is still there.
I would call it mid concept at best. My takeaway is I'm glad that we did this format change mid season 2 of Wise Mr. Phineas Carr, where we've decided to not just watch the pilots. One, because I'm getting a little burned out on pilots.
Yeah, pilotitis, they call it.
Yeah.
You're like a network executive. You're just in without the cocaine.
It happens to two groups of professionals, TV podcasters and Air Force recruits. So we'll be watching the consensus best episode of each of the pilots that we've watched. Again, I think MacGyver has set itself up for a great improvement. I'm trying to stay optimistic.
I don't know
if
consensus best, but I'm feeling the ultralight episode. You know, like that's got to be. Yeah.
No, I think we gotta.
All right.
We gotta be scientists about this in the spirit of MacGyver.
MacGyver would want us to be.
We gotta go on IMDb and be whatever they say is the best episode. That's what we're watching.
All right. Yeah, that will be determined. So if you want to send us feedback, it's easy to do so. Feeny, F-E-E-N-Y at baldmove.com. Once again, that's Feeny at baldmove.com. If you want to send us feedback, we may get to it in future episodes, depending on how much we got, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be what you guys make of it, feedback episode. We'll be back next week with another thrilling installment of a 80s. I'm not sure which one we'll be doing because I'm not even sure which order we'll release this. I know the ones we haven't watched Dukes of Hazzard or Greatest American Hero yet before we start doing the consensus best back half of the season. So we'll be taking another crack at all these shows. Feeny at baldmove.com. Jay, where do people find you each and every week?
I stream on Twitch, blue_J_streams. And that's my PM show. We hang out. We watch YouTube videos. We keep each other safe and sound. That's fun. Or find me on YouTube, Blue Jay Streams on YouTube. Again, that's entirely to catch predator content. So if you're into that, you're going to like what I got.
All those links are in the show notes as well. And you can find me and Jim at baldmove.com talking about hopefully less stupid television. But baldmove.com.
Not always.
Thanks for joining us for some MacGyver nostalgia, Jim. I'm glad I wasn't bullied by Jay alone.
Wow.
And Jay, we'll try to do better next week.
All
Until
right.
then, you take us. You got a thing you say, Jay. I don't want to gainsay you.
Until next time, I've been Jay McCain on behalf of Aaron and Jim Jones. Hey, Kit, hit the candy bar ejector there for me, bud.